entrepreneurs, business leaders, and professionals who seek excellence. Bringing the business classroom to you, it's the Business Builders Show on the Business Builders Media Network. Here's Marty Wolf.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Business Builders Show. I'm your host for the show. My name is Marty Wolf, and my special guest with me today is Doug Conant. Doug, how are you, sir?
I am excellent. Well, enjoying speaking to you from beautiful, sunny Taos, New Mexico today.
Oh, wow. Well, I'm in cold and sometimes snowy northeastern Pennsylvania, so I'm feeling envious already about your environment. But no matter where we are, we have great conversations. We already had one earlier in terms of kind of prepping for this show. But let's kind of dive right in. I'm going to introduce Doug Conant, and here we go. Douglas R. Conant is an internationally renowned business leader, New York Times bestselling author, keynote speaker, and social media influencer with over 40 years of leadership experience at world-class global companies. He is the only former Fortune 500 CEO who is a top 100 leadership speaker, a top 15 leadership guru, and a top 100 most influential author in the world. For the past 20 years of his leadership journey, he has honed his leadership craft at the most senior levels, first as president of the Nabisco Foods Company, then as CEO of Campbell Soup Company, and finally as chairman of Avon Products. In 2011, Doug founded Conant Leadership, a mission-driven community of leaders and learners who are championing leadership that works in the 21st century. I want to add to that, Doug, a recent book is called The Blueprint, 6 Practical Steps to Lift Your Leadership to New Heights. For those who are on video, I'm showing you the book. So, Doug, again, welcome to the show. And a few weeks ago, we were talking, and we had a great conversation. And one of the things we mentioned that, you know, in this world of VUCA, V-U-C-A, which stands for, by the way, volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous. It seems, Doug, that our world is kind of VUCA on steroids. Seems to be a lot going on, Doug. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, it's hard not to feel that way. What's funny to me is the VUCA term was coined by one of my mentors, Warren Bennis, who was living until a few years ago in Santa Monica, California. And Warren was one of the outstanding leadership thinkers of the last century. And he coined the term VUCA world in 1987. He thought 1987 things were volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous. And as you and I talked the other day, you know, if that was a VUCA world, this is a VUCA world on steroids. The volatility, the uncertainty, the complexity, and the ambiguity all seems to have been lifted up simultaneously to a place where it feels almost unfathomable that it could get more challenging. But, you know, this is the funny thing. I'm a fan of U.S. presidents, and over the weekend, actually yesterday morning before I went to church, I was looking through one. I'm a Teddy Roosevelt fan, mm-hmm. and I have a library of Teddy Roosevelt books here in New Mexico, and I was reading through his 1913 autobiography, okay? Mm-hmm. And the topic sentence in there was, in 1913, facing the immense complexity of modern social and industrial conditions. And he goes on to talk about how leaders have to be prepared to lift their game because the game was getting more volatile, more uncertain, more complex, more ambiguous. This is a way of life. It's true. It's been true, in my opinion, for every generation here in the U.S. Since we were founded. Yeah. David McCullough used to constantly remind us that you think you have it hard. You should have been back there when we declared our freedom as a colony.
Sure.
That was tough. It was a VUCA world back then. Yeah. I think every generation has their challenges. The insight here for me has been, well, then every generation has to find a way to find their footing in the face of these challenges, because these challenges are not going away. And the book we talked about, The Blueprint, was my effort to help leaders find their footing in a way that speaks to them uniquely and powerfully, mm-hmm. so that they can find their way in the face of all the challenges they're facing. Yeah. So that's where the VUCA concept came from. I think every generation says, I can't believe what we're going through. You know, my parents never had to deal with all this.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, again, they've all said that, although sometimes I wonder, you know, with the instant communications and with people getting emails two or three times what they did every two or three years ago, maybe everything is on steroids more than ever before, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, we wrote a book, one of my writing partners, Mette Norgaard, and I wrote a New York Times bestselling book called Touchpoints.
Yes.
Which basically said, you know, you have about 400 interactions a day, either through text, emails, personal connections, whatever, you know, and you have to be optimizing your impact in those tiny moments, those touchpoint moments.
Yeah.
Because it's not like you have just one thing to do today. Mm. And what we've observed is that because of the advent of the internet and the technologies that grow off of it, people are inundated with communication now. And, you know, quite frankly, we haven't found our footing yet in terms of how do we manage all the incoming so that we can be effective with the outgoing. And that is the challenge, I think, of this generation. I suspect that it will take one to two generations to start to harness what we have coming at us. This is not a quick fix.
Wow, that's an interesting perspective. One to two generations, mainly just to catch up. But with artificial intelligence and everything else, again, you know, it's hard. Well, okay, so it's hard. So let me move on to my next thought process.
Okay.
In recent weeks, we've read a lot about this guy by the name of Elon Musk, and this guy, the FTX CEO, and it seems to me, and there's probably more press out there, it seems to me that these guys and gals, I guess, seem to be running their companies by the seat of their pants. I mean, it seems awful chaotic to me. What's your thoughts on this, Doug? Am I right, or is it my perception, or what's kind of going on here?
Well, I would say I'll connect this conversation back to the VUCA world. I don't think in today's, you know, many leaders, I could almost say most leaders, when I started my career 50 years ago, you could get along pretty well by the seat of your pants. The world was moving at a pace where seat of the pants worked. Okay. The volume of stuff was limited, and the speed at which it was coming at you was limited. And the competitive frames were pretty well structured. So you could find your way through that, and you could sort of do it by instinct in the seat of your pants. With all that's happening now, I don't think seat of the pants is good enough. I think you have to be highly intentional and strategic with what you do. And a lot of the people who have created breakthroughs with technology or in other industries are good at creating disequilibrium in markets and taking advantage of it.
Mm-hmm.
And those people are brilliant. Steve Jobs was brilliant at creating some disequilibrium.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Elon Musk, the same way. Jeff Bezos, the same way with Amazon. They were disruptors in the market. And they created enormous value for a lot of people. But my observation is the people that are gifted disruptors are probably not gifted leaders at leading an enterprise. They live by disruption. And they don't have this capacity. They haven't developed the capacity to lead the common person in an enterprise. That is another challenge. I mean, this is, you can't do this by the seat of your pants and instinct. You know, you've got thousands and thousands of people following you and lots of levels and lots of people engaged. You have to be the conductor of the orchestra. You can't just be ad hocking it as the conductor. Nobody can follow you. And so the challenge, I think, is people who have created great value in the market through disruption are great disruptors, but they're not necessarily great leaders of people.
And since you focus your life on leadership, this is where we want to stay on this topic. So you use the word intentional. And again, I'm going back to when we talked earlier. Stay with that thought process of being intentional. And I guess I'll say it this way, like, and you use the phrase, I wrote it down. They need to get their rudder in the water. And so it's kind of like, if it's meant to be, it's up to me. If you want to be a good leader, you have to be intentional. But doesn't it start with that individual, Doug?
I think it does. You know, we're all on our own personal journey. And, you know, if we use this, the sea analogy and the rudder in the water, I mean, the storms in these high seas are treacherous right now. Everyone feels, pushing the metaphor maybe a little too far, they feel lost at sea, right?
Yeah, tossed and about.
They're feeling buffeted by the winds and the waves.
Yeah.
And unless you have the rudder, your personal rudder in the water here, it's going to be hard for you to navigate your way through this in a way so that you can feel like you're in charge of your life, as opposed that the winds of change are influencing your life and you're a victim. See, I find that effective leaders don't feel like victims. They feel like people who have a higher purpose, who are living that purpose, who are getting to a better place every day. No, it's hard, but they have what I would say, using the language we used last time, they do have their rudder in the water. They have a sense of purpose that transcends the ordinary. That's all part of being intentional. When you talk about being intentional, well, what does that mean? That means you, to me, that means you have a higher calling, you have a sense of purpose, and you're intentionally moving in that direction with every action you take. And what I've discovered working with thousands of leaders over the years is that everybody's the language you use to work, you've got to go inside in order to work this out.
Yeah.
And so what we found is every leader's different. The disruptors or the facilitators, everybody's different. Everybody has a story that has formed the way they choose to walk in the world. Brené Brown has a great quote. She said a couple years ago, and it was my quote of the year, I think, in 2020. She said, basically, look, you can either walk inside of your story and own it, or you can stand outside of your story and hustle for your worthiness every day.
Wow.
And a lot of people who are lost at sea are not walking inside their story. They're standing outside of their personal story, and they're living the story that their boss has for them, or their mother has for them, or their father has for them, or their teacher, or their coach. Yeah. I went through all of that as the oldest of four boys. I was always looking to my parents to guide me, my grandparents, my teachers, my coaches, my professors, my bosses.
Yeah.
And it took me until I was in my 30s to realize, you know, I'm so busy trying to please everybody else that I'm not really meeting my own needs very well. But then I realized, you know, I don't even know what my own needs are. So in order for me to be intentional, I had to go inside, pull those stories out. I was blessed because I had a chance to work with Stephen Covey for several years. And he helped me sort of get in touch with what my story was.
Yes.
And start living into it. And and that's basically, in my own way, what I try and help leaders do now. We all have a story. We all have to get in touch with it. We have to have it inform how we show up for people.
Yes.
And we have to do it with great intentionality and with a fierce resolve that regardless of what comes, we've got to show up in a way that we're the best version of ourselves every day, knowing that we can always do better.
By the way, you can find, it's an interview that Doug did with Brené Brown. You can look that up and you can find that. And they had a nice chat. And by the way, for you tech fellows out there, tech girls and guys and gals, he also chatted with Gary Vaynerchuk, which was an interesting discussion, right, Doug? Let's not go down that rabbit hole too much.
I've known Gary for a long time, and he's quite a character. He's an interesting fellow. Yeah, I've known him. I've known him way before he was Gary V.
Yeah, Gary V.
But what I admire about him is he knows what he wants to stand for, and he has the courage of his convictions, and people will listen to you. You know, I think Maya Angelou once said, the most important trait anybody can have is courage, because without courage, you can't practice anything else with consistency. Mm. You have to have the courage of your convictions. Yeah. And Gary has it. And actually, Brené Brown does too.
Oh, yeah. Really
well anchored in what their convictions. And what we're talking about right now is helping everyday folks get anchored in their convictions.
Exactly
so
right.
They can show up with courage.
Yes. You have to live it and be the example. My opinion. This is my opinion. As the leader, you need to be the example.
Yeah.
You have to model that kind of life. If you don't, you'll get otherwise. You'll get chaos. So that's my opinion, is that's why it's an inside out, to use this Covey phrase, right? Yeah. Doug and you, it's an inside out job. It starts with you. It's going to emanate from you if you behave in a certain way. So let's move on to the entire organization. Let's talk about organizations, and I guess the word intentional is still important in all this. But so how important is it today? We hear the word purpose being thrown around a little bit today, but in your opinion, how important is it for a company to have a clear purpose that hopefully the entire company understands what it is? That's how important is that?
I think it's always been important. What I love now is that it's in vogue.
It's correct.
And it needs to be. It used to be a nice to do. Now it's a need to do. If you want to, when I started, there were basically two groups in the corporate world. There were the old white men and the older white men. It was not complicated. Now you have six different generations in the marketplace.
Yep.
Remarkable diversity by gender and ethnicity. And the complexity of managing all that is extraordinarily challenging.
Yeah.
And what I find is organizations need to be tethered to a higher purpose that galvanizes that organization to be going in a specific direction. The other observation I would make organizationally is, and I think Stephen M. R. Covey has done a really nice piece of work that points in the right direction with his latest work, Trust and Inspire.
Yep.
The model I grew up with was old white men and older white men in a command and control environment, hierarchical.
Yep.
With limited information available in not particularly a timely way.
Yeah.
Today, those hierarchies are collapsing in the face of all the transparency and all the information.
Yep.
You know, when I started, if you didn't know how to do your job, you would go and ask your boss.
Right.
How do I do this? You try that today, and your boss has 27 people working for them because it's now a flatter organization, and they don't know how to do your job.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So you have to operate more independently than ever before. And what guides you? What guides you in those
Correct.
Yep. In those situations? And what I find is an organization's purpose becomes the default position. If you're not sure, you just go to your purpose. I'll give you an example. When I was at Campbell, we had this sense, this purpose. I'll use the word purpose now. We called it a mission. But we were trying to nourish people's lives everywhere, every day. Seems simple enough. Campbell had a link to nourishing that we all grew up with. You know, the chicken noodle soup when we had a cold, or when we would walk home from school in the chilly Northeast, you'd have a grilled cheese and tomatoes. A cup of tomato soup,
right?
And we in the food industry, we sort of owned that word nourishing in a unique way. And if you were working in sales, we would challenge you to be nourishing your customer. Or if you were working in investor relations, we'd say we want to be nourishing our investors. So if you run into a problem that you can't solve, what do you do? Here's what you do: you nourish. You nourish that investor, you nourish that customer, you nourish that consumer, you nourish that supplier. And that default positioning could be called into account every day by every person who's meeting this situation. What do I do? You nourish.
There's no confusion.
And then you figure it out. And obviously you have to do more than that. But because there's so much volatility, uncertainty, complexity, and ambiguity out there, you need a higher purpose that can connect everybody to the intention of the enterprise.
Yeah.
I can't imagine operating without it. And it's amazing to me the companies that do. The one thing you know about your job every day, and it's true of you, it's true of me, is that it's not the day you have planned is not going to be the day you lived it.
Yes, that's correct. Yep.
And so what are you going to do? How are you going to regroup? How are you going to manage it? And what I find is that higher purpose for an organization is the galvanizing force. It's the glue that holds it all together.
Yep.
Now, I'm going to go back to our prior conversation. It's the same thing for individuals.
Mm-hmm.
We need a higher purpose. Why am I doing this?
Yep.
And it's not good enough to say, I don't know.
Correct.
You're selling yourself short. My gosh, it's your one life. Why are you doing it? And be clear about that, and then figure out how you want to show up. And then if you're working for a company that's clear about that and knows how they want to show up, then you start to have a marriage that can really prosper.
Yeah, exactly.
You have to know your purpose. You have to connect it to your company's purpose. And then you have to walk that road. And you can do it.
You can do it. It takes leaders to do it, though. So with that, I'm going to ask you about your book, but I want to make sure everybody knows they are listening or watching the Business Builders Show. My name is Marty Wolf, and my guest is Doug Conant, and we're having a great conversation. Doug, I want to talk more about your book. I'm going to mention again the Blueprint, 6 Practical Steps to Lift Your Leadership to New Heights. There it is, and it says top there, Get Unstuck. And just as an aside, there are some nice people and great people who have given you praise to this book. But right on the cover, a friend of the Business Builders Show, Daniel Pink, says this about this book: an essential book on leadership Well, it can't get more powerful than that coming from Daniel Pink. So so tell me more about the book. You've been referring to it, but let's go a little deeper on the book.
Well, you know, I've been, you know, like everybody that's listening to this conversation, I'm on my own journey. I've been trying to figure it out. And I always knew I could do more, better, faster, but I didn't know how. And I was always trying to figure out how can I do a little better. And I could never fit my own leadership development into my cockamamie life. You know, it was too complicated. I don't have time for this. I got to do this, this, and this. I don't have time for this leadership mumbo jumbo. Yeah. And so the intention of this book was to help people find their way into this leadership journey, to lift their leadership to new heights in an approachable fashion. And that acknowledges the VUCA world we've just talked about.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, you don't need to go to Harvard and get your MBA. In fact, Harvard's not a good place to go get your MBA and learn leadership.
Correct.
Or Kellogg, where I was chair of the Kellogg Executive Leadership Institute for 5 years.
Yeah.
That's not the place to go for it. You got to go inside yourself and find your way through that.
Yeah.
And you know, and life's crazy. So we wrote the book. We said there's 6 steps. You can do this at your own pace. We're going to make it approachable. And then I do it in a boot camp that I run in 2 days.
Mm.
To get them to a place with some pre-work where they, and in 2 days, they can get on a journey that can carry them for the rest of their lives of gently raising their leadership profile to new heights in a way that fits in the, it has to nest perfectly
yes.
in their cockamamie life. It can't be, well, I'll squeeze it in here. I can squeeze it.
Yeah.
You have to squeeze it in. It's like your diet, right? You know, I've got this great diet plan for January. I'm going to work out this much time. I'm going to eat these foods. But how long does it last? And how do you sustain it? It has to be turnkey. It has to be so simple that it fits in your cockamamie life. And that's why we wrote the book.
And Doug, I want to make sure that everybody knows along with the book, you can get the companion workbook, which I'm also showing, which I've also started to work in. And so the book is great. He mentioned the boot camp. You can learn more about that. ConantLeadership.com. Is that correct, Doug?
Yes, it is. And I love doing it. I only do a few a year. I'll have a lot of commitments, but I run the program and then people actually develop their own personal leadership philosophy in 2 days.
That's great.
And then we challenge them to work on it for 4 weeks. And then they send it in to us. And coming out of that, then once they've done that, then we set up a personal session with me one-on-one where we go through everything.
Wow.
I had one of those today, and it's some of the most fulfilling work I do.
I can imagine.
Is helping these people. But they have to do the work before I'm going to jump in and help. And it's something that's getting traction in this VUCA world. It's an approachable way to deal with, you know, what I think is has got to be an imperative of the highest order. You have to get grounded. You have to get your rudder in the water or you're going to be lost at sea.
Yes, that's correct.
It's not that hard. I mean,
no,
it's not that hard.
It's I guess the line is it can be simple, but it's not easy. They're all right. So there are steps and walking you through all this. I mean, I love it. So I jump tracks a little bit because as I was reading it again and preparing for this conversation, what crossed my mind, Doug, was that there are thousands of people in the last few weeks have been laid off, fired, furloughed, whatever words you want to use. Thousands of people. A lot of them managers, a lot of them leaders, a lot of people who want to be leaders. Doug, what crossed my mind is that I'm hoping they have something like your book, your workbook, or following you to help them, because wouldn't it be so appropriate? Because you kind of live that, right?
Well, I wrote the first story in the book is how I was summarily fired from my job, totally blindsided. And I had a wonderful gift. I had an outplacement counselor who challenged me to figure out what my story was, because I hadn't figured it out yet. I was trying to please everybody else.
Yeah.
And he challenged me to figure out my story. And basically this book, and I refer to this fellow Neil McKenna often, this book is my ode to Neil McKenna. Yeah. He was the one who said, you got to figure this out for yourself, and then you've got to carry this forward with everybody with whom you live and work. And you have to pay it forward. And that's sort of what I'm doing now. If your career has been put on pause, this is a perfect time jump into this exercise and make enormous progress. And you can do it without, you can do more, better, faster with us in boot camp if you can get in. But if not, you can use the book and the workbook and you can lift yourself up. And that was the goal.
Yeah.
What we found was people, you know, sadly, we are a quick fix culture. We don't have the patience to kind of work this territory. And I remember Stephen Covey had another great line. He said, Doug, look, you can't talk your way out of something you behaved your way into. You got to behave your way out of it. And we've sort of, as contributors, we've all behaved our way into this way of operating in companies where we're dependent on other people and we're not independently thinking about what we want to do and how we want to do it. And, and so, and it's not easy. It takes a while to work through that.
Yes.
We got it down to these six steps to a 2-day boot camp, but you can do this. The key is James Clear has done some great work. A lot of people have on tiny habits.
Yeah.
You make small changes that are anchored to your purpose while you're showing up.
Right.
And you make these tiny, tiny changes to your leadership profile that in the fullness of time will get traction and will help you raise your contribution profile to a new level. And these tiny, tiny practices will help you every day show up in a way that's more consistent with the way you want to show up.
Yeah.
Neil McKenna, when I was fired, just a tiny practice. Every time he answered the phone, and I was fired way before cell phones, I'm sure we had gotten migrated to push button phones by then, but not by much. But every time he answered the phone, he would say, hello, this is Neil McKenna. How can I help? Yeah. He was there to help. He set the table for help.
Yeah.
That's what I'm here for. You could have been the plumber calling to schedule an appointment.
Yeah.
Come fix the sink. And he's there to help.
Yeah.
And everybody that knew Neil knew that's his brand. That's his purpose. He's there to help. And it set the table for the rest of his life. And all he had to do was say those four words.
Yep.
Right? How can I help?
Well,
habits like that can make big differences.
And on page 154, you say the words, the 10 foundational tenets of leadership that works. And number 9 on that list is, how can I help?
Yeah. Well,
it's one of the tenets of leadership that works.
Yeah. Now, you have to know yourself well enough to know how you can be helpful. So you have to do the work ahead of time.
Yes.
To be well enough anchored so that when you're offering to help, you know how you can help.
And I guess thinking about these people who have been laid off and whoever's listening to this message, it's not going to come. You may be blessed that something will happen externally. Something may come in and you may get lucky. But for the most part, this is internal. That starts with you, the work you're going to do, how you reach out. How you inspire trust in others, et cetera, all these kinds of things that we've been talking about, it has to start there. I want to start winding down, Doug, but I want to share something else with our audience, and I want you to respond to it. And let me see here. I read this exactly. So it was just a few weeks ago, and you recently, a few weeks ago, received the annual Stephen R. Covey Principle-Centered Leadership Award from the Covey Leadership Center at the Huntsman School of Business at Utah State University. How did that make you feel, my friend?
Well, it was in many ways, it was a full circle moment because I got unstuck with the help of this Neil McKenna and the help of Stephen Covey. And both of them have passed.
Yeah.
And to be honored to have Stephen M.R. Covey, his son, honoring me there. And the only other two people that have received the award are Lord Hastings from London, who is associated with the school now, and my good friend Indra Nooyi, formerly chairman of Pepsi. To be honored that way by the Covey family was a full circle moment. And it's sort of, you know, it felt like it validated the path I'm on.
Yep.
But you know what? It gave me fuel. I got to do more.
I could see that. Yeah.
It was like coming out of there, I felt like, well, I love this. Thank you very much. Now I feel like I have to double down and earn it, you know, and so, which is great.
Which is great. Absolutely.
You know, you think about in your life, when you get recognized by somebody, you feel you got a spring in your step, right?
Absolutely.
And, and then what are you going to do with that spring? What are you going to do with that spring in your step? How are you going to make a difference today? So, my
go
gosh, I was on cloud nine when I was there, and it was an honor.
Well,
and anyway, yeah. But that's the world is a better place for Stephen Covey having been in it.
Yes.
And the number of people he's affected. I've paid it forward. Now, we added up the other day. I've got nearly 60 people that have worked in my organization, either directly for me or one level down, nearly 60 people who are now CEOs.
Wow.
And below that, and if you add C-suite leaders, we're probably up to 100. And they're having a profound influence on tens of thousands of people's lives, hopefully in a positive way. So, and then we've got 400,000 people. We're just talking about leadership every day on social media.
Yeah.
And hopefully making a difference there. So, gosh, I'm just getting warmed up, Marty.
I can tell. And the last time we talked, I told you I needed to take a nap after that. I'm like, wow, I'm exhausted. So it wasn't a culmination. This is just the beginning. This is the liftoff. I feel the same way. And I'm energized every time I talk to someone like you. And I talk to Stephen M. R. Covey. And folks, you've listened and or watched to this this conversation with Doug. Again, Conant Leadership, Conant, conantleadership.com if you want to learn more about it. The book, again, is The Blueprint, 6 Practical Steps to Lift Your Leadership to New Heights. You want to get the book. There's a workbook you can get. He did mention at the beginning of our conversation another book that he co-authored called Touchpoints. This was my first contact with Doug. I have referred to this book repeatedly. So I would also suggest you get this book, get Blueprint, follow Doug on social media. How about LinkedIn? And even you go to Conant Leadership, you can sign up for your blog, right, Doug?
Yeah, you can. We have a newsletter. And you know, we're on Twitter. We want to have a pervasive principle-centered perspective available to everyone. So many of my colleagues in the leadership space are not particularly interested in Twitter, but I am, because I want to be representing what I think is the best of leadership thinking.
Yeah.
And I want to challenge people to bring a higher sense of purpose to their work. So we're on Twitter. We're also on Facebook, and we're on LinkedIn, and Instagram. So we're out there fighting the good fight every day.
Yeah.
And loving it.
Well, Doug, thank you so much for your time today, for our prior conversation. You are having a positive ripple effect in the world, and for me personally, Marty Wolf, and for the folks who listen and watch the Business Builder Show, we're so grateful that you took time off for us today.
Happy to do it.
Thank you for listening to the Business Builders Show on the Business Builders Media Network. Find all our shows and many other great podcasts at businessbuildersmedia.com. That's businessbuildersmedia.com.